Well, ha! I can outstubborn any of you.
Outstubborn?
Mm-hmm. I can sit and wait and wait and wait until somebody speaks.
Well, I waited for the time to be right.
Ah, like you are. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was the one who spoke, wasn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you were the one who spoke. But Russ was waiting for me to say something, weren't you, Russ? We could have sat here all night and not said a word. I can outstubborn anybody.
Probably outstubborn.
Mm-hmm. Hello, David.
Mm.
How's it going?
Oh,
you don't sound fine.
Well,
I'll be here all about it.
About it.
Yeah, come on, let's hear.
Well, I finally get snow, and I just happen to have a messed up knee that maybe wants to cold or something.
Well, we'll be working on that tonight, when she gets here.
What the hell is the problem, Calvin? Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's just feisty. He knows who's in the room.
Yeah, he gets real excited when she's here.
Yeah. Okay. Amal can't be here tonight. He has a council meeting, which means that Corton won't be here either. But I have scheduled a person of interest.
Yourself?
Yes, of course, myself primarily. We will be working on the healing and coercion. Do we have any questions?
You heard me say about yourself.
I could have done in speaking a little bit louder, but that will be mitigated due to the fact that they would be wearing headphones. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Well,
and you got my tape that I did for you all right then? One that I sent over late Saturday and got there Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Good impression.
Mm-hmm. Not a total deep trance, or as deep as it should be.
Well, I don't want to be a deep trance. I want a light trance.
Yes.
Mark goes into deep trance.
Mm-hmm. But he had a little bit of his wishful thinking mixed in with it. Okay, next question from Johnny.
With shielding and coercion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm seeing shielding myself against you or someone here in the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a form of coercion?
No, it's just...
Will you harass this poor feline?
Okay, you would need to talk to Kiri about coercion. Shielding we'll cover in a minute. In the meantime, do you have a question, David?
No.
Okay, more questions? Or are we going to sit here and look at each other all night?
Why is your buddy Mark so British?
Why are you so American?
Because I was born and raised here.
Why are you so American, David? Are you sure? What makes you say that you're not?
Well, like what Americans turned into.
But one person can make a difference.
Oh, and I will.
Mm-hmm. Just don't think yourself a 5'4" little corporal with a short moustache. That would be the worst thing that you could ever do. The only way to really change something for the better is through harmony, through changing people's opinions, not overnight, but slowly, little by little. Well, that's how you bring back the morals. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, how's your new position,
though? It's a lot of work. I'm glad that I have somebody above me, actually.
Why not?
Because they do all the compiling. It frees me up a little bit, but I have a lot more work to do.
And excuse me, I need a clarification here. You're talking about a sexual position?
No, covert operation thingies. And I've uncovered some very interesting things, actually. For example, the crime rate since the end of apartheid and the election of Mandela has gone up. Guess how much?
The what has?
The crime rate. The
crime rate has gone up 30%?
Well, how much do you think it's gone up by? Guess.
I can't.
Okay.
Since Nelson Mandela has been president,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have guessed that it had gone up any.
Yeah. Johnny?
70%.
Johnny is very, very close. It's actually 75% since Mandela has become president of South Africa.
And it's gone up.
75%. So,
how's that break down into various crimes?
Various crimes, violent crimes have doubled.
The assault?
Yes, assault. Burglary has almost trebled.
Get to be an alarm
cells there. Suburban communities, that is black and white, they now have what they call rape doors, which is they put over bedrooms. They have alarm systems up the yin yang, and it's not working. They have fenced off areas, and it's not working.
And it's not going to work, is it?
No. Until they become more unified.
Okay, since we're speaking to about other countries, I don't know if you have anything else to say about South Africa, but I'm concerned about Europe and Eastern Europe,
mm-hmm.
and what used to be known as the USSR.
Ooh, yes.
It's a very volatile situation right mm-hmm. now in that whole area. It could get very complicated.
Oh, it is getting complicated.
Can we get some insight from you on this?
Yes, I will give you a little piece of interest. Kazakhstan is getting very jumpy. It's boiling nastily. The Chechen Republic, which is very close to Kazakhstan, is getting very tweaky. Ukraine is having problems. Russia itself seems to be quite okay at the moment.
What about the coups and the overthrows in Russia? The attempts? The political? I mean, there's a lot of...
I'd like to hear David's question first.
How is zero knowledge?
It's climbing. It is climbing. He holds certain persuasive techniques that he uses. Mm-hmm. Well, he has a lot more experience in it than the little corporal that did. I don't think he will go quite that way. But, however, with that area...
He's already talked about genocide on a couple different cultures.
Mm-hmm. But they all talk about it in that area. You take the Georgians, for example. They've been practicing it on the, what's that tribe down there? Azerbaijan? Mm-hmm. Thank you. They've been butchering each other for centuries there. If you go back to Georgia, there was a great tribe there at one time that had very strong influences throughout that whole entire area about 3,000 years ago, all the way down into Greece, and the Greeks wrote about them. Anybody can guess what that tribe was?
Martin.
No. I'll give you a clue.
Archers?
Getting close. The only thing is that they didn't do...
Ottoman came to mind for me.
A little bit before the Ottoman time. The only thing that I can say that would be another clue is the stories of them removing a part of their body to aid archery is total... mm-hmm. They did exist. and they had great power in that area.
Okay, so you're talking about precursors to the Ottoman tribe.
Well, we're talking about precursors to quite a few things in that area, actually. But what happened was that they were suppressed and their tribes were overwhelmed and they became a small tribe where the males became more dominant.
Now,
this is a genocide.
Mm-hmm. How about the country of Georgia right now? Aren't they very unstable?
That is why I brought them up. They are very unstable. They're always attacking and fighting amongst themselves and causing lots of problems. And also they do have a nuclear capability there because some of the bases are in their area. So they've got to be watched very carefully. Let's get back to the various political activists, generals and so on that are trying to get in power. Now, I don't see the generals that are running at the moment actually getting much in the way of power. They may get elected to a seat in their government. They may become a leader of a party. But I would see more of a ex-communist politician coming to the foreground. Because communism in that area is very necessary. I'm not saying that it works, but people there need to be dominated. If you take, for example, the Greeks, and they're saying that it is best to have a democracy with a benevolent dictator. That's what the people of that area need, is somebody that is strong, that can lead them down the right path. Whereas if you have a party system, they cannot enact their long-range plans because they've got to be re-elected or somebody else is elected that has a different idea, and they cannot enact their long-range plans. That area does need long-range plans for it to work. It is one of the areas where a democracy or a republic doesn't work.
And what about the plans with certain aspects of the people and the military there to force a republic or a democratic?
I think I've just addressed that with the explanation on long-range plans, that they do need somebody very strong, like a czar, that can run the country without having to worry about political changes every 4 or 5 or 6 years. Are you comfortable there? Okay, next question. Ash has arrived.
When you looked at South Africa, you looked at Eastern Europe.
I did.
And when you compare it to the United States, it's
Tribalism, for one thing. Technology, for another. Tribalism in references to the various tribes in South Africa and the tribes in the countries of the former USSR and your own country. Now, what are your tribes here called? Mm-hmm. Gangs. It's much better.
Not always gangs, but not all of them consider themselves.
Yes, but they are huge networks of individuals closely linked, sometimes by blood, sometimes through intrigue and so on. And they are very tribalistic. Technology, let us take that. Okay, South Africa doesn't have a very high technological level, except for in their mining technologies, which is the envy of the world. However, because of their problems with their tribalism, that is dying. Now, the former Soviet Union, very high in technology, very well advanced, the same as your country. But these things are hindrances because it takes away the personality of the people and the tribes. It can be useful with the tribalism to take away the personality and the aggressive nature to a certain extent. But there again, it is also survivalism of that particular group. For example, if you take a tribalistic group, let us say the WAPO. Anybody know what the WAPOs were?
No.
Russ? No. Johnny, you know.
Nothing came to mind right offhand.
They are an extinct group of Native North Americans, indigenous to the Napa Valley. I only know that because Mark told me.
The WAPOs?
Mm-hmm. And they recently became extinct because they'd been assimilated and lost their culture. So technology can be a tool for exterminations of differences. Another tribe, I think it's the Mohicans, Mohawks.
Yeah.
They're very few in number, aren't they, man?
A lot fewer than what they used to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, they used to cover
a very large area.
A very, very large area.
And what did technology do for them?
Damn.
In fact, it was a hindrance
to their upbringing, especially since they were on the east and they had a bigger impact than the western tribes did.
Western tribes got butchered even worse. You take your local tribe, the Shoshone? No. Washoe. Thank you. Thank you. Knew you would come in handy for something. What happened to them? They're still here. There's still a few of them. Not as many as there once was a while ago. Isn't that a song? Or part of a song? But they are still surviving just barely. They've been stopped from coming to their religious places. So what did technology do for them? However, you take the Cherokee. Certainly technology at first was very bad for them. But now look at them.
They're rebuilding a Cherokee nation.
That's right. You take the five nations up in, I believe it's New York, Massachusetts. Can't think of their name. Keepers of the Sacred Light.
Algonquin?
Could be.
Iroquois.
But, thank you.
Yeah, Iroquois.
Now, they gave your country something of great importance. Anybody know what it is? Okay, who knows the preamble to your constitution? Okay. How does it go? And speak up in a loud, crisp, clear voice.
Oh, boy. Something about guarantee the people a republic.
Shall I start? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Do you know where that comes from? We, the tribes of the Iroquois.
Oh, okay.
Guarantee. And it goes on and on and on. Yeah, a franchise and so on for the people of the Iroquois. That's the biggest gift of any Native American tribe to your country.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Even in the drawings, they have their constitution shown, that long thing that they unroll. Anyway, I'm hogging too much time here. Mm-hmm. Any last questions? Let's start off with David.
No.
Johnny?
Even though we all come from different tribes, isn't the key to this that we're all one people and more than just being Americans or British or German, we're human beings, we're Earthlings.
Yes.
Isn't that the...
That is the point. But do not lose your racial identity. If you remember the discussion we had some weeks back about what are you? What it, David, what's your nationality?
Mostly British. I got a little bit of English.
Johnny, what is your nationality?
Earthling.
Hey. We've been a little facetious tonight. First of all, you are of the planet Earth. Secondly, you are Americans. You were born and raised in your country, in this country. Anyway, I'm getting nudged here. I'm going to have to put on the next person.
My question.
Okay, what about your question?
I'm borrowing one of David's. What are the odds of us getting the whole solution to world peace figured out and 2 seconds later a world on construction fleet showing up?
Frown. And to Russ, frown.
Gary.
Yo, dudes. Okay. Oh, I'm terribly sorry. You shouldn't make yourself so comfortable. Now, to answer your coercive question, how are you feeling?
How am I feeling?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling fine.
How are you really feeling?
A little under the weather and...
A little bit down and...
A little bit down and depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have no money. I don't have no honey. My truck's broke. I don't have a full-time job. It's been a intense, stressful situation for me. No doubt about that.
Now, what makes you so talkative?
Oh, you asked me a question. I wanted to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Why did you want to be honest?
Because... You asked me a straightforward question. And I believe the more honest we are, the further I can progress from a third dimensional state to a sixth dimensional state. The more knowledge I obtain, the easier my progression will be.
What's that look for, Russ?
Well, I know where this conversation is going. I think it's more to you once more.
Yeah, sure, honey.
Oh, you going as well? I was just giving you a demonstration on coercion.
Oh, were you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to coerce myself another cup of tea.
I've just opened him up and had him talking like a book, and what did he do? Runs off, doesn't thank me. So how are you doing, David? Yes, I've heard all about your knee problem. I've heard all about your disappointment about the ski season so far. Or snowboard season, sorry.
Trying real hard not to be a stressful person.
You ought to take a lesson from Mark. He's very stressful at the moment. Thank you. Second question. Why did you get up and get me a cup of tea?
Oh, because I wanted one.
It came on you though, didn't it?
I got the Kiri Boom.
Two with one, two at a time. I'm getting good. I am the champion. Now, back to shielding against coercion. Against me using Mark's energy, you got a tough time. Me against you, person to person, no joy. However, what did you say?
No joy?
Yeah, no joy.
An English expression for no kills on a mission.
Okay, now, coercion. Now, what you have to do is focus on somebody. And thus, right? Think a thought. And to start off with, we suggest like come, go, sit, stand, tea, drink, lie down, stand up, walk, talk, and so on. You think this one word. You visualize the word, for example, talk. And you look at the person. You get them to talk. Or stand Right? You visualize the word in your head. You visualize them standing up. And what do they do, Russ?
Well, they tend to scratch the moon. That's what I do.
At least you got them to move.
Mm-hmm. You're part of the way there. All sorts of things. You think with one word, you visualize it in big, mighty, big letters. And you look at them and you smile. And you get them to stand.
Can I skip over the preliminaries and like make someone's head blow off their body?
No.
So I'm going to have to start with the simple techniques first?
That's right. Now, there are certain ground rules because coercion can be used to get one's personal gain. If you are a great orator, take, for example, you seem to have a thing about the guy with the moustache and the short attitude and the corporal.
Thank you. Same.
But he was a very strong coercer.
Oh, I really like the way he was a good orator. Mm-hmm. He was a maniac, but he was a genius maniac.
Yeah. The border between genius and madness is very narrow. Another person, Joseph Stalin. Very great orators. Winston Churchill. Roosevelt. Lincoln. All great orators. All very good at communicating, get people to believe their ideas. It is also in the way that they carry themselves. Notice that they all stand up straight. They don't slouch when they talk. They talk with passion. They use their arms. They generate this huge field to coerce a lot of people. So therefore, you know, you've got to learn how to coerce with words before you can coerce mentally. And then from mentally, yeah, you've got to go on. But if you take people like Hitler and Stalin, they're corrupt. Because what they wanted was world domination for their own personal gain. You take Roosevelt, Lincoln, Washington, all your great American people, Ronald Reagan. They coerced for the common good, a little bit for personal gain as well. So normally when you coerce for personal gain, things go wrong. You end up being disliked, shot at, killed, blown up, poisoned, going crazy. So therefore, you've got to be careful when you coerce in a negative way. Now, here's a question for you, John. My situation for you. You are a very clever coercer like myself, right? I go for a job interview and I need a job. I coerce a person for the job. Is that good or bad?
It's good.
Tell me why.
Because I wouldn't use that technique unless I was in a desperate situation and needed a job desperately. Mm-hmm. And with what I do for a living, cooking, eating goes hand in hand with it.
Oh, exactly.
A cook won't starve to death. I don't care what the company policy is.
Mm-hmm. You've got to sample the food.
So therefore, I'm forced into it.
Yeah. So therefore, using your coercion to get a job, right? You coerce the person into giving you the job. You're doing something for yourself, but you're also doing something for them because you are a talented chef. All chefs think they're great. And I mean that in a complimentary way. That's what makes them good. So, in return, they bring their style and flair to that place. And if it is marketed correctly, that place thrives. Take your place in Sedona, Judy's. Before you got there, what was it? It was an okay restaurant, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was okay, hole in the wall, surviving on a shoestring.
And when you got there, and after a year or two, what happened? Ta-da! Johnny arrived.
Yeah.
Everything went great.
We expanded the menus. We increased the food quality. We increased the amount of business and revenue. Mm-hmm. I also, in turn, increased my wages proportionally. Mm-hmm.
And you became a very important part of the team.
That's true.
So, therefore, you brought something as an employee to the company. That certainly benefited them. So by using a coercive means, it works two ways. You survive, or I would survive if I was a chef, and you do wonderful things for the company. So therefore, using coercion in a negative form can actually turn into a positive form in that sense. Whereas if you go for a job that you really don't need, that you're going to rip off the company and you coerce them, that's bad. So you see that it is
taking away somebody's own decision.
I see.
Not allowing them to decide for themselves. They think that
sometimes people's decisions are flawed.
Yeah, but everybody thinks their way of thinking is right.
Mm-hmm. You're quite correct, but by putting yourself in a situation where you benefit them and they benefit you, it's a mutual thing. After a while, it doesn't matter whether you caress them or not. The fact remains, such as Judy's, that the place blossomed with the help of Johnny. So if he had coerced for a job, it would have probably happened quicker if he learned how to coerce here. The same thing could happen. It also depends on, I believe, marketing as well. You can have the greatest food in the world, and if it's not marketed properly. So coercion can have a positive effect. Even though you do take away the person's free will, it is only for a one-off. On the other hand, if you take away their free will in a negative way, for example, let us take, I can't think of anybody new. I suppose we could go back to the little corporal again. But I'm sick of the little corporal. Anybody else sick of him?
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything else about Hitler.
Okay. A little captain from France. Great coercer.
Oh, Napoleon?
Mm-hmm. Great coercer. Another great one. Tell me, did Napoleon do anything good?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do good?
He turned France into world power.
Mm-hmm.
European power.
Mm-hmm. Feel good about themselves.
Brought back their patriotism.
Mm-hmm. But he gave something, again, as a coercer, much more important. Russ, what's your answer?
Brought in the order to things before it was pretty well messed up.
Mm-hmm. But he brought one very important thing, and it's close to order. He brought the law that they still use, and thank you, dear. The law that they still use in their country today was invented partly by Napoleon. A little bit like George Washington in your country and the founding parents. Yes, that's a negative side. He dominated and killed thousands and thousands of people. So therefore, he was a border point good, bad coercer. And what happened to him? He died very young. So, coercion. What have we learned tonight? You have to control it very, very carefully. Otherwise, you get beyond your wildest dreams and you go crazy. Simple as that. You become a very bad person. Do we have any questions?
Can you give us any advice on techniques and tools to use so we don't abuse coercion and coercive powers and shielding?
Here's the biggest tool. Here and here. Does it feel right? Certainly some of the bad people have always thought it felt right. But is it really right? Does it benefit you and you alone? Or does it benefit the other person? These are questions that you have to ask yourself. And if it feels good here, and the answer here is that it benefits both parties, or it benefits them more than it benefits you, then it's good. Take Mark's current problem. If he coerces her, he's taken away her learning experience. If he doesn't coerce her, she proceeds down a way where she will never learn. So what does he do? Pulls out his hair, goes crazy, and gets stressed out about it. Does it benefit her? Certainly it does take away the problems. And it does help her. But does she learn? Yes, she does learn. But why doesn't he coerce her? I don't know. She won't let me in. And you guys have gone mighty quiet. Well, never mind. Yeah, any more questions on coercion?
No, not for me. Thank you. You've been very informative.
Okay, now your question.
Marilyn, I was talking to Tina about us in the Douglas Adams story. And
you were? She was giggling.
Yeah, of course. Which brings me to a certain point in the book called So Long as Things Fall to Fish.
Mm-hmm.
In which, after supposedly the Earth was destroyed by a Vogon construction fleet, in later stories, it was seen that the dolphins apparently gave them a ball surf or something like that. I don't remember.
You're asking the wrong person. I haven't read it.
No, I'm thinking now on this transition between third-dimensional Earth and sixth-dimensional Earth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking